Glory and honor, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Father, that we have physical ability to be together in health and in freedom, Father. We pray your blessings upon each and every facet of this service today. Lord, let your will, your words go forth. Let the love of God permeate from us, Lord Jesus, that those that enter this sanctuary would feel and see you and you alone. Let the words of this vessel and the thoughts of this vessel be yours, Father. I surrender totally to you. Holy Spirit, you take control. You do the preaching and the teaching today. For with you is perfection, with you is truth, and with you is all things that are godly. Father, give the hearers wisdom and understanding beyond their years. Let the word take root in their heart and grow, that it may be fruitful and multiply and produce the army of God that we are called to be in this day and age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, if you want a title, you can call it Sanctify Yourself. Last week, I know we talked about choosing God's grace or the grave. And we talked about the children of Israel who had seen the promised land and the spies had come back, and only two gave a favorable report. Only two believed in the grace of God and what God had said. And they chose that despite what the children of Israel believed. They believed the other 10 spies. And they were fearful and they were afraid to walk out into God's promise. I want to fast forward to Joshua 1, if you want to turn there briefly and explain where this sermon came from and what God spoke to me this week about it. Moses has passed. The 40 years is coming to an end. Joshua is now being put in as in the stead of Moses. He was the minister that came up under Moses. It is very important who you lend your name to, your ministry to. You don't take it lightly. It has to be something that God has ordained. Walking in the will of God is so important. There you will find peace. There you will find joy. There you will find what you need in your life. When you live outside of the will of God, you live outside of the will of everything that He offers you. So important to be in the will of God. And that in the ministry is usually the most important thing in your life, of course, but it is the most valuable reward that you have as a minister, as a child of God, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a singer, as a leader, whatever your role is, and everybody has a role. If you're not in the will of God, you don't have that peace. You don't have that joy. You don't have the things that God, that come with having Jesus is Lord of your life. But let's go back to the sermon. I want to read in Joshua 1. And it says, now, after the death of Moses, the servants of the Lord, it's come to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all that this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. It's a command. You know, Joshua chose grace, God's grace from the beginning. He chose to believe what God had promised was going to be so. But even then, Joshua had a job to do. He had work that had to be done. God had put the place into motion. He has already given it to him. It's a done deal. But they have to go in and take possession of this land. As in our lives, we have all the blessings of God. But we have to walk in them every day. We have to choose to walk in them every day. And sometimes we have to war to have those things. And that is what you're hearing from this pulpit for months. You're hearing about drawing near to God, staying in the presence of God, because that is where your strength and your peace and your joy comes from. That is where you, when you see that you are unable to do it, if you stay in the presence of God and carry him with you, you have the strength you need to go forward. But we are also teaching you to see the enemy, to expect the enemy, and you are being taught how to war against that enemy. You are still victorious through Christ Jesus. But you have to choose each day to walk and stand as a child of God. And that in yourself is war with your flesh, your own fleshly desires, and war with the enemy. You are being taught how to war and to be victorious in this war. But notice Joshua has the promise. He said, yeah, it's time to go, Joshua, and you're going to take all these people with you. But verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. If you will walk your life every day and understand that no matter where I tread, no matter what snake I'm walking around, no matter what enemy territory I'm walking through, God has promised to give it to me. It is already mine. You know how I know that? Because he has led me into that path already. I can walk with this blessed assurance that where God takes me, his grace is always able to carry me through. Always. His will, like I said last week, will never take you to a place where his grace cannot cover you. Never. Never. If you walk out into your own now, you're walking out over the will of God and you don't have that coverage. That's why it's so important to have that presence of God, to hear God, and to walk in according to his commands, not according to what somebody else says, not even if it's me or your pastors or your husbands, your spouses. You have to listen to God. And that's why knowing his word and staying in his presence is of the utmost importance. And then God in verse 4 tells them what he's given them. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the rivers Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. That was a large chunk of land. The going down of the sun. That's pretty awesome. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Did you notice that condition there? Don't. Keep it ever before you. Observe this law. Keep it close to heart. Don't veer from the left to the right. Don't depart from it, from your mouth. You've got to speak life over your situation as well. Meditate on it day and night and observe to do according to it. And then your way will be prosperous and you will have good success. Some people think they can just run in and do what they want to do, and that is not so. It has to be according to God's will and God's laws, his ways. I want you to skip over the second chapter. They sent the spies out. This time he only sent two. This is a great story. If you read this, it's about Rahab. Rahab was a harlot. But let me tell you about redemption. Rahab is in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. She was not Israelite, nor was she a holy woman by any means. But she made a choice. She made a choice. She chose God's grace, even though she wasn't even over the covenant. And because of her choice, she was the mother, the grandmother of David, great-grandmother of David, or the grandmother. She was in that lineage. I love Rahab. I'm not going to read this story. We all know about it. She hid them from the king of the of the city that they were, the first city they were supposed to go into to and take hold of, take siege of, and Jericho. And she told them, she said, I know that your God is the God. Because, you know, we have fallen under, we are fearful because of your God. They hadn't done anything to these people, but they just heard about the Israelites and how God's favor was upon their people, how they were doing miracles and walking through waters, and the Egyptians couldn't withhold them from any way or manner. And it brought fear into their lives. Let me tell you, God always goes before you. He always goes before you. If you're in his will, he always goes before you. And so the spies, she kept them hid. She sent them out and told them to stay in the mountains for 3 days and then go on back to your camp. And they'll, you know, they'll give up the search by then. But she kept them. And, of course, they gave her the scarlet cord. Here she says, put this in your window, and we will save anybody within the household, your father and all your household. But anybody comes out, now it's on them. Their blood's on their own hands. As long as they stay in the household, then they're covered. And this is, I claim that for my children a lot. They're still under my covering. They're still under my covering. But so the Israelites, so the two spies have gone back, and in chapter 3, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. It's very important. You don't move until God tells you to move. When God moves you, you go with that move. I don't care how long you've been there. I don't care if mom and dad has been there their whole lives. If God calls you out, it is time to walk behind that ark. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, roughly about half a mile. The Israelites walked behind the Ark of the Covenant. It says, come not near into it, that you may know that by the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. He's taking them in a new direction. But he says, if you follow me, if you stay close to me, you won't get lost. The enemy can't have you if you stay close to me. This is so significant in all your life, every day. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And when I heard that, those words resonated through my whole body. Sanctify yourself. This is where we are right now in this church. We are about to see the miracles of God performed. We're about to see the waters rolled back. We are about to go in and take the heavily fortified areas of this land, Jericho. This is prophetic. But he says, you have got to sanctify yourself. This is what I require. And it wasn't just for me. This is for your church. We are all in this together. Each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has something that we can talk to someone about. I may not be able to speak to someone about a certain situation that I haven't lived through, but I can love them and I can show them love of God. But you may have lived through that thing. You have overcome this thing, and they're going to gravitate to you because you are the light for them. And I'm just going to be able to cuddle them and love them through the Christ Jesus, but you're going to be the one that draws them in. Because you have overcome whatever the situation was. Now they have that hope. And they don't even understand Jesus is the hope. But they see that you have hope in this area. So we each play a part. You gather, you bring them in. We teach them. We love them. We train them. And then they become warriors for the kingdom. It's a process. Sister Larissa said the other day, this place is a hospital, but you are not meant to be here in this hospital forever. You've got to be discharged at some time. You should leave here better than you came. And if you do not, she didn't say this part, but I'll add it. And if you do not, then you, there's a problem. There's a problem. There is a problem. But God said, sanctify yourself. And when I heard those words, my whole body just kind of vibrated. Just, I remember, I was like, oh my God. It's like I heard it and it shook through my whole body. And I said, okay, God, what do you want us to do? So I started researching sanctify. When you God speaks to you and things like that, it may not be that much of a revelation, but when you hear that word and it identifies in your body, get in the scripture and start looking that word up. Where does that word come from? What does it mean in the Hebrew or the Greek, depending on which New or Old Testament you're in? Find it out. That's the Holy Spirit trying to reveal something to you, and he wants you to dig a little deeper in that situation. Sanctify means to be set apart for God's special use or purpose. It's to be wholly usable by God. If you go back to Exodus 19, 14, and 15 and Mount Sinai, this is when the children of Israel were called to sanctify or consecrate themselves, as some words, translations will read that. And they were called to, now remember, they're in the wilderness, to wash their clothes and refrain from fleshly desire. I won't read the scripture, but basically that will boil down to wash your clothes and refrain from fleshly desire. So I said, okay, God, what do you want me to know about that? And he took me to John 17, 15 and 19, and I want to read this. This is Jesus praying for his disciples. And essentially, he's praying for all of us. This is his heart, his desire for his children, for us as the children of God. Verse 15 and 19. I won't read the whole prayer. It says, I pray not that thou should take them out of this world, but thou shalt keep them from the evil. I think that's pretty awesome that Jesus, the Son of God, died for my sins, rose from the grave, with all power in heaven and earth, keys of death, hell, and the grave, as we like to say in the Pentecost. But he is praying that God, that I would be kept from the evil one. He says, and his words are powerful, aren't they? They created earth, what we see, right? So imagine what power lives within you. It says, verse 16, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Washing your clothes was a sign of purification. It was an intentional act of cleansing. Intentionally. Titus 3 and 5 talks about how we as the children of God are cleansed. We are bought, made new. We are renewed. We are regenerated. We are born again. Let's put it that way, and made new. But Titus 3 and 5, let me read it. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So God's Holy Spirit comes to live with you, in you, with salvation, and you are righteous and made right. But there is situations in your life that you have got to learn to be regenerated and renewed in. Have you ever put your child in the tub and let them bathe their own self? Well, in my household, that didn't work very well, especially the one. That daughter of mine, I'd put her in. I'd go back 10, 15 minutes later. She'd still be sitting there. I said, Ashton, bathe yourself. She's like, I'm not in here to get clean. I'm just in here to get warm. She's just soaking up the tub. Of course, that did help get some of the dirt off of her, but it didn't get all of it. She was my dirt dauber. She loved to play and get dirty and muddy. And so I have learned the children won't clean themselves unless you help them out a little bit. So I'd have to go in there kicking and screaming, hold her down, scrub her hair and scrub her body. And she didn't like me much after that. And she still don't to this day because I made her get clean. Well, we're kind of the same, aren't we? We are. We are. It's like, oh, there's a little dirty spot right there. It's okay. Let me just, yeah. Mom won't see it. Let me put my pajamas over it. Mom won't see that dirty spot. Ooh, ooh, that's okay. Let me get my nice clean shirt on. Maybe it'll help. We're like that. Yeah, we want to. Yeah, I went through the motions, but I didn't get clean. Ain't none of us like that. I'll just preach to myself at this point. But it's what the Holy Spirit does. He lives within you every day. Remember, he is your comforter. And I know I need some comforting because I can spell myself sometimes and woo, that's not good in the spirit. But he intercedes on our behalf, but he helps us in our weaknesses. And he also guides us into all truth. Notice, he doesn't lead you. He doesn't say, come on, let's go. He says, come this way. This is the right way. This is what we need to do next, Sonia. This is what you need to say. This is how you need to act. This is, he doesn't force you, but he gives you that option of doing the right thing. Yes. I had a lady one time, she had a dream, and she had a room in this dream that she would go to, and she would sit, and she would look through an album, which was basically her life, her past. And she was told in this dream that God was not allowed to come in that room with her. She wasn't willing to give him all that yet. And he was asking in the dream, let me in that room with you. I can heal you. I can make you whole. I can help you through these situations. But she would keep the door locked and just sit and go through that album of her life, which was her past, and look at the pictures and the hurt and the pain and all the wrong that was done. And all the time he's at the door begging, let me in. I can help you. I can fix this. We can make you whole. We can heal you. I can do that. That's what I died for you to do. But she said, I wouldn't let him in the door. And I was like, you know what that means, right? It's time to let him in to heal. Are you willing to be washed? Purification. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. How does that process work? Let me read the New Living Translation because I think it makes it plain and simple for me to understand. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is truth, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. How many times are we staying in our dirty old clothes and we're not fit to help others and do good work because we refuse to wash our clothes? Colossians 3:10 in Amplify says, and have put on the new spiritual self who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. You were born new. You've been born again. You have this new man that lives within you. And you're Christ, his Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit lives within us. But we have a choice to let it wash us. Let it regenerate us. Let it renew us each and every day. Because I had some terrible mindsets and I still struggle with them today. I'm not going to say I'm perfection by any means. I believe that this work of the Holy Spirit will last until the day I take my last breath. So don't be so upset about it. When you see something in yourself, and I'm one of those that I like to live and, you know, I like to be pretty efficient, and when I see imperfection in myself, boy, it's very devastating because I expect everybody else to be perfection because I expect myself to be that way. But the enemy uses that against you. Don't be so upset when the Holy Spirit shows you these things, and he will reveal it through the Word of God. That's why a lot of people don't like to study. That's why a lot of people don't like to come to church that teaches the truth because it hurts. It is painful. It is a process. Colossians 3 and 26 and 25, the New Living Translation says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been renewed or listed with Christ in baptism, united with Christ in baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes." I thought that was quite interesting. "I have been baptized." You wish you should say washed in the blood. We used to sing an old song. Well, some of us need a good baptism. And I'll be one of those one day. I have days like that. But he says, put on Christ like putting on new clothes. That's a wonderful analogy, I think. Ephesians 4 and 24, it says, "And that you have, you put on the new man. You've been renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you will put on the new man." I think that's interesting. It's a choice we have. Are you going to be washed? Are you ready to purify? There's a wedding garment parable that Christ taught, Matthew 22. So he has this wedding and he prepares it and he has everything ready for everybody. And he sends out invitation and no one wants to come. So he sends his servant out to the highways and the byways and said, "Just bid them to come. I have everything here for them. Everything's prepared, clothing, food, everything's prepared." And he goes in after they come and fill up the place, and he goes out, and there's one person standing, and he didn't have his wedding garment on. And he sends him away. Christ said, this is the kingdom of God. If you don't have the proper attire, whether it be the day you die or when Christ comes again, you won't be invited. Revelation talks about the bride that has this beautiful white wedding-like garment, radiant, in Revelation 9. You got to put on that garment every day and wash. And the washing is washing of our mind, and in turn, that changes our thoughts and our behaviors to be appropriate. It's Revelation 19. So what's the second thing that I need to do? Is do not fulfill fleshly desires. Christ said, and I like the Luke version, it says, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. Deny self. Why is that such a big deal? Because self likes to have its own way. Self likes to do it the way that God wouldn't want to do it, because self wants instant gratification, instant emotional fulfillment. Self wants to do it their own way. Fleshly desires is what self brings. Lust, pride, money grubbing. You know, I can think the list can go on and on, but it's all fleshly desires that come from a flesh that's not, that it's opposite of God and his desires for us. Galatians 5 and 1 says that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. And 16 through 25 tells us to walk by the Spirit so that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 8, 5 through 13 tells you to basically do the same thing, but it says mortify the deeds of the flesh. What does mortify mean? Put it to death. Put it to death. That's what mortify means. So when these desires come up, how do you deal with it? First thing is, you've got to be intentional about closing all the portals that the enemy has to you. That means people, places, and things. Whatever it is. Once you identify that as a temptation or a trigger or whatever you want to call it, when you see the enemy has access to you through those things, you've got to learn to cut it off. Once you cut off all the posts, you've got to learn to take every thought and action captive to Christ. And we talked about that, and I want to read it again because it was so great. And it's in the Message version. Let me read it to you real quick. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, and fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. If it doesn't look like, smell like, talk like, act like whatever it is, the thought, the action, we put it in this, I love it, it says, in this life shaped by Christ. If it doesn't fit, doesn't look like what Christ would do, then we shouldn't be doing it either. Once you identify those things, you yield to the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:4 says that you have a divine nature in you with the Holy Spirit living within you. And you have the ability to no longer be a slave to it. Actually, the Bible says that you, Romans 6:11-14 says you are no longer, sin no longer has dominion over you. Sin no longer has dominion over you. So Pastor taught not too long ago, it doesn't have power, it has permission. Do you give your flesh permission? You've got to learn to yield to the Spirit. That's plain and simple, that's it. When it happens, when it presents itself, you've got to make the choice. What are you going to do right then and there? Are you going to take the authority and the power that you have over this, whatever this fleshly desire is? Are you going to let it eat you one more time? Enemy walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Your flesh is pleased by it. But piece by piece, he's devouring you. Piece by piece. This wonderful revelation. And I want to remind you before we go on, Philippians 4:13, Christ is where my strength is. You can't look at yourself. The enemy will tell you, you don't have the power to do this. But baby, that's right. But in Christ Jesus, he gives me all strength. In my weakness, I am strong because his strength is what carries me through. It's not my own strength. Most of us don't see what our fleshly desires when we bow down to them and let them rule us happens. We didn't have the strength, but in Christ Jesus, I have all strength. But the call to sanctify yourself came. Are you going to be willing to do that? We're about to see the Jordan rivers stand on in. We're going to walk through on dry land. And then Jericho is next. But God has already given it to us. And maybe he'll let me teach more about it. I don't know. But the call has come. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. They did that because they were getting ready to be in the presence of God and participate in something miraculous that he had was for them. It was theirs. All they had to do was walk through it in obedience to God. Are you going to sanctify yourself? Are you ready? The Holy Spirit is about to hit this earth in a way that most of us have never seen in our lives. There will be such a great need for people who have sanctified themselves, made the choice to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who have come through it through Christ Jesus and are willing to bring the rest out. Come on, I've got a better way. We're going to take down this stronghold, but I've got God to show you and teach you and love you so that you too can have what I have, peace, joy, and love. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your instructions. I thank you that you have a path for each and every one of us and that we will walk through this earth as men and women of God, as soldiers and warriors for the kingdom. Saving all that we can, bringing them to you, Christ. Bringing them into the kingdom for the next generation and the next generation until you come again. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see the enemy. See our flesh for what it truly is, Father. Help us to be the men and women we are called to be. Help us to sanctify ourselves according to your command this day. In Jesus' name, amen.